Cassette number 11, side 1, a treatise on cosmic fire, continuing section 2, division B, the factor of Manus, on page 460. Each of the kingdoms of nature is the expression of a life or being, none, for instance, being the expression of one or other of the heavenly men. The sum total of humanity, the fourth hierarchy, being found, with the Deva evolution, as the centers of the solar locus. The animal kingdom, likewise, is the expression of the life of a being who is a part of the body of the locus or of the planetary locus, but not a center of conscious energy. A correspondence is found in the human body, which has its seven centers of force or energy, but also other organs upon which objective manifestation depends in lesser degree. Such an entity finds expression through the animal kingdom, of which he is the informing soul, and he has definite place in the planetary or logaric body. This is a hint which has hitherto not been exoteric, and is to be commended to the consideration of students. I would add that some of the tragedies underlying existence at this time are comically incident upon temporarily faulty relations between an entity who dominated at one period of the third or moon chain and the one holding analogous position in this, the fourth or earth chain. This latter is the sum total of the lowest human principle, if we count the dense physical or animal body of man as a principle. Page 461. In their lack of agreement lies the clue to the cruelties practiced on animals by man. We have enumerated six occult statements anent the animal kingdom, the third kingdom of nature. They related to the past, and we will now add one further statement to them and then proceed to consider the present and to foretell certain eventualities that may be looked for in the future. As we have seen, during the third root race, opportunity for the animal kingdom occurred, and many individualized. In the fourth root race, this cycle of opportunity ceased temporarily, and something happened which is analogous to what will occur in the fifth root race in connection with man at the so-called judgment day. In Atlantean days, the lives which composed the third kingdom of nature were divided into two groups. A number of these lives were passed, and the tide of life sweeps through them, permitting of their incarnating an animal form on earth and their gradual evolution. The remainder were rejected, and as a group they became temporarily quiescent and will not manifest in physical form until the next round. In the fifth round, a corresponding division will take place in the fourth kingdom, and the lives in that kingdom will be subjected to an analogous test. Some will be passed and will continue their evolution on this planet, while others will be rejected and will go into temporary pralaya. After the rejection in the fourth root race of three-fourths of the animal units, the remaining triads, or one-fourth, proceeded on their way, holding the promise of opportunity for all in time and the guarantee of their own attainment in the next round. Page 462. Just as the human monads who are passed in the fifth round will enter into the fifth kingdom or respond to its vibration before the climax of the seventh, so the animal monads, if I may employ such a term, who were passed in this round will achieve individualization during the fifth and enter the fourth kingdom. This will be brought about by the strong manasic impulse which will characterize the whole cycle of the fifth round and will thus be effected normally and as the result of due evolutionary growth. An electrical stimulation of the nature of the occurrence in Lemurian days will not be required. Since the great division in the fourth root race, the animal kingdom has been primarily occupied with the stimulation and development of karma. This is the basis of the endeavor being made by the Brotherhood, by the aid of man, to fan the emotional instinct, or the embryo love aspect, through the segregating of the domestic animals and the consequent play made upon the third spirilla in the animal atoms by human magnetism or radiatory energy. The sum total of the domestic animals, the animal units brought into closest connection with man, form the heart center in the body of that great entity who is the life of the animal kingdom. From the heart flow all the influences which will eventually permeate the entire body. These units are those which will be finally separated from the group soul at the reopening of the door into the human kingdom in the next round. Let us now consider the immediate present and the advent of this seventh ray of ceremonial magic. The effect upon the animal kingdom of the force of this ray will be far less than upon the human, for it is not yet ready to respond to the vibration of this planetary logos and will not be until the sixth round, when his influence will bring about great events. Nevertheless, certain effects might here be noticed. Page 463. Owing to the increased activity of the Deva evolution, and especially of the Devas of the ethers, the lesser builders will be stimulated to build, with greater facility, bodies of a more responsive nature, and the etheric bodies of both men and animals, and also their responsiveness to force or prana, will be more adequate. During the sixth sub-race, disease as we know it in both kingdoms will be materially lessened, owing to the pranic response of the etheric bodies. This will likewise bring about changes in the dense physical body, and the bodies of both men and animals will be smaller, more refined, more finely attuned to vibration, and consequently more fitted to express essential purpose. Owing to the recognition by man of the value of mantrams and his gradual comprehension of the true ceremonial of evolution, coupled with the use of sound and color, the animal kingdom will be better understood and better trained, considered, and utilized. Indications of this already can be seen. For instance, in all our current magazines at this time, stories which deal with the psychology of animals and with their mental attitude to man are constantly appearing, and by the means of these and through the force of the incoming ray, man may, if he cares to do so, come to a much wider sympathy with his brothers of less degree. Thus, by the turning by man of his thought force upon the animals, stimulation of their latent mentality will ensue, leading in due course of time to the crisis in the next round. More attention should be paid by occult students to the effect of the consciousness of one group upon another group, and the advancement of the lesser by the means of the stimulating power of the greater should be studied. The following facts should be realized. A. The powerful vibration of the lords of the three rays and of their radiation stimulates the four heavenly men and develops their apprehension, enabling them to expand their consciousness. Page 464. B. The consciousness of the heavenly men stimulates all the units in their bodies, but causes specialized response from those who are actively and intelligently working at the development of group consciousness. The vibration, for instance, of a planetary logos has a peculiar effect upon all those who are initiates, adepts, and chohans, and brings their three major spirillae to the necessitated vibration. This work is begun when the sixth spirilla, in the minor group of seven, is active. C. The consciousness of man is stimulated and developed when, at a certain stage, he can respond to the vibration of members of the occult hierarchy, and is thus nearing the portal into the fifth kingdom. This coincides with the vibratory activity of the fifth spirilla. D. In like manner, the less evolved units of the race, who are scarcely more than animals, are brought to the necessary stage of vibration by the play upon their mental bodies of the combined vibrations of men whose fourth spirilla is functioning adequately. In these last two cases, we are dealing with the spirillae of the mental permanent atom. In the other two, we are dealing with occult mysteries bound up in the vivification of solar and not human permanent atoms. E. The fourth creative hierarchy, viewed as a unit functioning on this planet, and leaving out of consideration its manifestation in other schemes, works in a magnetic manner, and in a stimulative capacity upon the animal kingdom, the force of its vibration pouring on to the astral bodies of the animals and producing response. This awakens to a more effective apprehension all the units of the animal kingdom. Hence, it can be seen how close is the interplay and the interdependence, and how closely united all these greater and lesser lives are with each other. Growth and development in one part of the body logoic produces a corresponding advance in the whole. Page 465. No man, for instance, can make definite and specialized progress without his brother benefiting. This benefiting taking the form of the increase of the total consciousness of the group,
the stimulation of units in the group magnetism producing increased healing or blending effects upon allied groups. In this thought lies, for the servant of the master, incentive to effort. No man who strives for mastery, who struggles to attain, and who aims at expansion of consciousness, but is having some effect in ever-widening spirals upon all whom he contacts, devas, men, and animals. That he knows it not, and that he may be totally unaware of the subtle stimulating emanation which proceeds from him, may be true, but nevertheless the law works. The third effect of the coming in of this ray is one that may at first repel. It will cause a great destruction in the animal kingdom. During the next few hundred years, many of the old animal forms will die out and become extinct. To supply the wants of man through disease and through causes latent in the animal kingdom itself, much destruction will be brought about. It must ever be borne in mind that a building force is likewise a destroying one, and new forms for the animal evolution are, at this time, one of the recognized needs. The immense slaughter in America is part of the working out of the plan. The inner life or fire which animates the animal groups and which is the life expression of an entity will, under this seventh influence, blaze up and burn out the old and permit the escape of the life to newer and better forms. Our subject for immediate consideration concerns the deva evolution and the effect of the incoming ray upon them. Page 466. The first point to be noted is that this influence at this time affects primarily the devas of the physical plane, the devas of the ethers or of the shadows, as they are sometimes called, and not, to the same extent, the devas of the astral or mental planes. Every ray affects, in more or less degree, the plane or subplane which is its numerical correspondence. The student should bear this in mind and should therefore recollect that for all purposes of investigation at this time, the seventh ray of ceremonial magic will have a powerful influence on the seventh or physical plane, regarding it as a unit, on the seventh subplane or the lowest subplane, on the physical, the astral, and the mental planes, on the seventh or lowest human principle, prana, in the etheric body, on all monads in incarnation who are seventh ray monads, on a peculiar group of devas who are the agents or mediates between magicians, either white or black, and the elemental forces. This group is occultly known as the mediatory seventh and is divided into two divisions. A. Those working with evolutionary forces. B. Those working with involutionary forces. One group is the agent of constructive purpose and the other of destructive. More need not be submitted anent this group, as they are not easily contacted, fortunately for man, and can as yet only be reached by a particular group ritual accurately performed, a thing as yet practically unknown. The Masons, eventually, will be one of the chief agents of contact, and as men are as yet not ready for such power as this will put into their hands, true Masonry will develop but slowly. Nevertheless, under the magnetic force of this seventh ray, the growth of masonry is inevitably sure. Page 467. This ray of ceremonial magic will consequently have a very profound effect upon the physical plane, for not only is this plane coming under its cyclic force, but at all times its planetary logos has a special effect upon it. The Raja Lord of this plane is what is occultly termed the reflection in the water of chaos of the planetary logos. Hence, in the matter of this plane, which is the body of the Raja Lord, certain very definite events are occurring, which, though invisible to the ordinary man, are apparent to the eye of the spiritual man or adept. The matter of the plane becomes receptive to positive force, for the feminine or deva aspect, being negative, becomes responsive to the positive energy of the heavenly man. This energy, finding the line of least resistance, pours into the substance of the plane, or the substantial body, of the deva lords. Owing to the receptive condition of this body, it follows certain lines and produces definitely constructive results. Constructive results transpire in the negative etheric matter of the plane and on the four higher subplanes. On the lower three, a contrary effect is produced, and the energy of the heavenly man will lead to the destruction of form preparatory to the building work. The building ever originates on and proceeds from etheric levels. Cataclysms of a worldwide nature will occur during the next 1,000 years. Continents will be shaken, lands will be raised and submerged, culminating in the profound material disaster which will overtake the world towards the close of the fourth branch race of the sixth subrace. This will usher in the infant sixth root race. The devas of the ethers with which we are most concerned will be affected in several ways, and the results upon the other evolutions will be far-reaching. Page 468. We must remember always that the devas are the qualities and attributes of matter, the active builders who work consciously or unconsciously upon the plane. Here I would point out that all the devas of the higher levels of the mental plane, for instance, and of the systemic planes from there on to the center, the divine plane, the plane of the logos, sometimes called Adi, cooperate consciously and are of a high rank in the system and a position equal to all ranks and grades of the hierarchy from a first degree initiate up to, but not including, the Lord of the world himself. Below these higher levels, where the concrete is touched, we have lesser grades of devas who work unconsciously, with the following exceptions, who are conscious forces and entities and of high position. A. The Raja Lord of a plane. B. Seven devas who work under him and are the entities who inform the matter of the seven subplanes. C. 14 representatives of the rays who cycle into and out of power according to the ray, waxing or waning. D. 4 devas who are the plane representatives of the four Maharajas, the lords of karma, and are the focal points for karmic influence in connection with man. The four Maharajas are the dispensers of karma to the heavenly men, and thus to the cells, centers, and organs of his body necessarily. But the whole system works through graded representatives. The same laws govern these agents of plane karma as govern the systemic and cosmic, and during plane manifestation they are, for instance, the only unit in form permitted to pass beyond the plane ring-pass-not. All other units in manifestation on a plane have to discard the vehicle through which they function before they can pass on to subtler levels. Page 469. C. Types of karma. We might here enumerate the different types of karma, even though we have not the time to enlarge upon the subject. A book by itself of vast proportions could not contain all that might be said. We should bear in mind that karma is imposed upon the ensouling entity through the medium of matter or of substance itself, which is colored by it, and that this matter or substance is intelligent material composed of deva essence. Cosmic karma, imposed upon the solar logos from outside of the system. Systemic karma, the working out by the logos of effects set in motion in previous kalpas and which influence his present type of body. Planetary karma, the individual karma of a heavenly man, which is just as different from that of another heavenly man as is the karma of the different members of the human family. The karma of a chain, which is bound up in the life experience of that entity who ensouls a chain and is a center in the body of a heavenly man, in the same sense as a heavenly man within his scheme is a center in the body of the solar logos. Globe karma. The individual destiny of the entity who is a center in the body of the ensouling life of a chain. These five existences above enumerated, who are worked upon by karma, are all cosmic and solar lords of light, who achieved intelligence and passed through the human kingdom many kalpas ago. Plane karma. This is inextricably mixed up with the karma of the planetary logos and of the Raja Lord, and is dependent upon the interplay between these two opposite poles, the masculine and feminine aspect of the divine hermaphrodite. Page 470. The karma of a subplane, or the destiny of certain lesser entities who manifest through these planes. In these two types of karma, we have what one might term the karma of the hierarchies, as it has been brought about since the manifesting of the solar system. It is the result of the past of this system, and not so much the working out of effects originating in previous solar systems. The karma of the kingdoms of nature, as we know them on our planet, A, the mineral kingdom, B, the vegetable kingdom, C, the animal kingdom. This is necessarily the karma of the different lunar lords who ensoul these kingdoms, and who are working out their purposes through them. We must note that we have touched therefore upon cosmic, solar, and lunar karma. In the latter is hid the great mystery of the moon and her place in the planetary scheme. The karma of the human hierarchy in its seven groups and of the individual monads. This in itself is a vast and intricate subject, and during the particular cycle of the Earth globe can be divided into A. World karma, the seven root races, B. Racial karma, or the destiny and purpose of each root race, page 471, C. Subrace karma, for each subrace has its own destiny to work out, D. National karma, E. Family karma, F. Individual karma. All these different types of karma are intermingled and bound up in a manner inconceivable and inextricable to man. Even the adepts cannot entangle the mystery beyond that of the groups affiliated with them, while the Chohans of the higher degrees work with the karma of the larger groups, which are the aggregates of the lesser groups. Page 472. All the lesser grades of devas, the army of the voice, on each plane, the lesser builders and elementals in their myriads work unconsciously, being guided and directed by words and sound. In this way, vibrations are set up in the essence of the planes by the conscious builders. There is not much to be added at this point anent the deva evolution. Much that might be imparted is perforce withheld owing to the danger arising from superficial knowledge, unaccompanied by wisdom and the inner vision. There are three more points to add to the four already given, concerning primarily the relationship of the devas to man in the future, and their closer approximation to him through the incoming type of force. This approximation, though inevitable, will not have for the human hierarchy results entirely beneficent, and before the true method of contact is comprehended and the consequent association wisely utilized, much suffering will eventuate and much bitter experience will be undergone. When it is remembered that the devas are, in their totality, the mother aspect, the great builders of form, and the nourishers of that which is as yet unable to guard itself, any return of man to a closer dependence upon the devas is as if a full-grown man returned to the care of his mother, offering up his self-reliance in exchange for material benefit. The devas are the mother of the form, but the self-conscious unit, man, should realize his independence of the form and should follow the path of self-expression. This should be pondered on, for in days to come, when units here and there contact the devas and inevitably pay the penalty, it may be helpful if the reason is understood and man realizes his necessary separation from these essences in the three worlds. Page 473. Approach between the two lines of evolution becomes possible on the plane of Buddhi, but then it is an approach of two essences and not an approach of the concrete to the essence. Man, while functioning in material, substantial forms in the three worlds, may not trespass across the separating line between the two evolutions. Only on the planes of solar fire, or on the cosmic etheric levels, may contact be permitted. On the planes of the cosmic dense physical plane, our mental, astral, and physical planes, disaster only results from contact. I have dwelt on this point, for the danger is real and near at hand. The deva evolution will, through this seventh ray force, have much to do with the transmission of prana to units of the three higher kingdoms of nature, and this easier transmission from the etheric levels of the physical plane will parallel a correspondingly easier transmission of spiritual or psychical force from the fourth cosmic ether, the buddhic plane. The results of this pranic transmission will be more healthy physical bodies among the sons of men. This need not be looked for at this time, and will only begin to be noticeable about 300 years hence, when the incoming seventh ray egos will be numerically strong enough to be recognized as the prevailing type for a certain period. Their physical bodies, owing to their being built for seventh ray force, will respond more readily than the others, though first ray egos and fifth ray egos will benefit enormously from this influence. The etheric devas will build during a peculiarly favorable period, and the physical bodies then constructed will be distinguished by A. Resilience, B. Enormous physical magnetism, C. Ability to reject false magnetism, D. Capacity to absorb solar rays, E, great strength and resistance. F, a delicacy and refinement in appearance as yet unknown. Page 474. The etheric levels of the plane will be full of an increased activity, and slowly but surely, as the decades slip away, man will become conscious of these levels and aware of their inhabitants. The immediate effect of this greater etheric energy will be that a numerically larger number of people will possess etheric vision and will be able normally and naturally to live consciously on etheric levels. The majority of men only function consciously on the three lower levels of the physical, the gaseous, the liquid, and the dense, and the etheric levels are as sealed to them as are the astral. In the coming centuries, man's normal habitat will be the entire physical plane up to, though not including, the second subplane. The fourth and third etheric levels will be as familiar to him as the usual physical landscape to which he is now accustomed. The center of attention of medical and scientific students will be focused on the etheric body, and the dependence of the physical body upon the etheric body will be recognized. This will change the attitude of the medical profession, and magnetic healing and vibratory stimulation will supersede the present methods of surgery and drug assimilation. Man's vision, being then normally etheric, will have the effect of forcing him to recognize that which is now called the unseen world, or the superphysical. Men in their etheric bodies will be noted and communicated with, and the devas and elementals of the ethers will be studied and recognized. When this is so, then the true use of ceremonial ritual as a protection and safeguard to man will assume its right place. Page 475. The work of the devas in connection with the animal and the vegetable kingdoms will be likewise recognized, and much that is now possible through ignorance will become impossible and obsolete. The time will come when the attitude of man to the animal kingdom will be revolutionized, and the slaughter, ill-treatment, and that form of cruelty called sport will be done away with. A mysterious change in the attitude of men and women to the sex question, marriage, and the work of procreation will result from the development of etheric vision and the consequent recognition of the devas. This change will be based on the realization of the true nature of matter, or of the mother aspect, and of the effect of the sun upon substance. The unity of life will be a known and scientific fact, and life in matter will no longer be a theory, but a fundamental of science. This cannot be enlarged upon here. 3. Manas in the final rounds. A. The transmutative process. Transmutation is a subject that from the earliest ages has occupied the attention of students, scientists, and alchemists. The power to change through the application of heat is, of course, universally recognized. But the key to the mystery, or the secret of the systemic formula, is advisedly guarded from all searchers, and is only gradually revealed after the second initiation. The subject is so tremendous that it is only possible to indicate in broad general outlines how it may be approached. The mind of the public turns naturally to the transmutation of metals into gold, with the aim in view of the alleviation of poverty. The mind of the scientist seeks the universal solvent which will reduce matter to its primordial substance, release energy, and thus reveal the processes of evolution and enable the seeker to build for himself, from the primordial base, the desired forms. The mind of the alchemist searches for the philosopher's stone, that effective transmuting agent which will bring about revelation and the power to impose the will of the chemist upon the elemental forces which work in, by, and through matter. Page 476. The religious man, especially the Christian, recognizes the psychic quality of this transmutative power and frequently speaks in the sacred books of the soul being tried or tested 7 times in the fire. All these students and investigators are recognizing one great truth from their own constricted angle, and the whole lies not with one or another, but in the aggregate. In defining transmutation, as it is occultly understood, we might express it thus. Transmutation is the passage across from one state of being to another through the agency of fire. The due comprehension of this is based on certain postulates, mainly 4 in number. These postulates must be expressed in terms of the old commentary, which is so worded that it reveals to those who have eyes to see, but remains enigmatic to those who are not ready or who would misuse the knowledge gained for selfish ends. The phrases are as follows. 1. He who transfers the Father's life to the lower three seeketh the agency of fire hid in the heart of Mother. He worketh with the Agni Shaitans that hide, that burn, and thus produce the needed moisture. 2. He who transfers the life from out of the lower three into the ready fourth seeketh the agency of fire hid in the heart of Brahma. He worketh with the forces of the Agni Shvatas that emanate, that blend, and thus produce the needed warmth. 3. He who transfers the life into the gathering fifth seeketh the agency of fire hid in the heart of Vishnu. He worketh with the forces of the Agni Suryans that blaze, that liberate the essence, and thus produce the needed radiance. 4. First moisture, slow and all-enveloping, then heat with ever-growing warmth and fierce intensity, then force that presses, drives, and concentrates. Thus is radiance produced, thus the exudation, thus mutation, thus change of form. Finally, liberation, escape of the volatile essence, and the gathering of the residue back to primordial stuff. Page 477. He who ponders these formulas and who meditates upon the method and suggested process will receive a general idea of the evolutionary process of transmutation, which will be of more value to him than the formulas whereby the devas transmute the various minerals. Transmutation concerns the life of the atom and is hidden in a knowledge of the laws governing radioactivity. It is interesting to note how in the scientific expression radioactivity, we have the Eastern conception of Vishnu Brahma, or the rays of light vibrating through matter. Hence the usually accepted interpretation of the term atom must be extended from that of the atom of chemistry to include A. all atoms or spheres upon the physical plane, B. all atoms or spheres upon the astral and mental planes, C. the human being in physical incarnation, D. the causal body of man on its own plane, E. all planes as entified spheres, F. all planets, chains, and globes within the solar system, G. all monads on their own plane, whether human monads or heavenly men, H. the solar ring pass knot, the aggregate of all lesser atoms. In all these atoms, stupendous or minute, microcosmic or macrocosmic, the central life corresponds to the positive charge of electrical force predicated by science, whether it is the life of a cosmic entity such as a solar logos or the tiny elemental life within a physical atom. The lesser atoms which revolve round their positive center and which are at present termed electrons by science are the negative aspect, and this is true not only of the atom on the physical plane, but of the human atoms held to their central attractive point, a heavenly man, or the atomic forms which in their aggregate form the recognized solar system. Page 478. All forms are built up in an analogous manner, and the only difference consists, as the textbooks teach, in the arrangement and the number of the electrons. The electron itself will eventually be found to be an elemental tiny life. The second point I seek to make now is radiation is transmutation in process of accomplishment. Transmutation being the liberation of the essence in order that it may seek a new center, the process may be recognized as radioactivity technically understood and applied to all atomic bodies without exception. That science has but recently become aware of radium, an example of the process of transmutation, is but the fault of science. As this is more comprehended, it will be found that all radiations, such as magnetism or psychic exhalation, are but the transmuting process proceeding on a large scale. The point to be grasped here is that the transmuting process, when effective, is superficially the result of outside factors. Basically, it is the result of the inner positive nucleus of force or life reaching such a terrific rate of vibration that it eventually scatters the electrons or negative points which compose its sphere of influence and scatters them to such a distance that the law of repulsion dominates. They are then no more attracted to their original center but seek another. The atomic sphere, if I might so express it, dissipates. The electrons come under the law of repulsion, and the central essence escapes and seeks a new sphere, occultly understood. We must remember always that all within the solar system is dual and is in itself both negative and positive. Positive as regards its own form, but negative as regards its greatest sphere. Every atom, therefore, is both positive and negative. It is an electron as well as an atom. Page 479. Therefore, the process of transmutation is dual and necessitates a preliminary stage of application of external factors, a fanning and care and development of the inner positive nucleus, a period of incubation or of the systematic feeding of the inner flame, and an increase of voltage. There is next a secondary stage wherein the external factors do not count so much and wherein the inner center of energy in the atom may be left to do its own work. These factors may be applied equally to all atoms, to the mineral atoms which have occupied the attention of alchemists so much, to the atom called man who pursues the same general procedure being governed by the same laws, and to all greater atoms such as a heavenly man or a solar logos. The process might be tabulated as follows. 1. The life takes primitive form. 2. The form is subjected to outer heat. 3. Heat, playing on the form, produces exudation and the factor of moisture supervenes. 4. Moisture and heat perform their function in unison. 5. Elemental lives tend all lesser lives. 6. The devas cooperate under rule, order and sound. 7. The internal heat of the atom increases. 8. The heat of the atom mounts rapidly and surpasses the external heat of its environing. 9. The atom radiates. 10. The spheroidal wall of the atom is eventually broken down. 11. The electrons or negative units seek a new center. 12. The central life escapes to merge with its polar opposite, becoming itself negative and seeking the positive. 13. This is occultly obscuration, the going out of the light temporarily until it again emerges and blazes forth. More detailed elucidation will not be possible here nor advisable. It will be apparent, therefore, that it should be possible, from the standpoint of each kingdom of nature, to aid the transmuting process of all lesser atoms. Page 480. This is so even though it is not recognized. It is only when the human kingdom is reached that it is possible for an entity, consciously and intelligently, to do two things. First, aid in the transmutation of his own positive atomic center from the human into the spiritual. Second, assist at the transmutation A, from the lower mineral forms into the higher forms, B, from the mineral forms into the vegetable, C, from vegetable forms into the animal forms, D, from animal forms into the human, or consciously and definitely to bring about individualization. That it is not done as yet is due to the danger of imparting the necessary knowledge. The adepts understand the transmuting process in the three worlds and in the four kingdoms of nature, which make them a temporary esoteric three and exoteric four. Man will eventually work with the three kingdoms, but only when brotherhood is a practice and not a concept. Three points must now be considered in this connection. Conscious manipulation of the fires, devas and transmutation, sound and color in transmutation. It is necessary here to point out, as I have done in other matters under consideration, that only certain facts can be imparted, whilst the detailed work concerning process may not be dealt with owing to the inability of the race as yet to act altruistically. Much misapprehension crept in owing to this very thing in the early days of hierarchical effort to give out some of the wisdom fundamentals in book form, and this is bravely dealt with by HPB. The danger still persists and greatly handicaps the efforts of those who, working on the inner side, feel that the thoughts of men should be lifted from the study of the ways of physical existence to broader concepts, wider vision, and synthetic comprehension. Indication only is possible. It is not permissible here to give out the transmutative formulas or the mantrams that manipulate the matter of space. Only the way can be pointed to those who are ready or who are recovering old knowledge gained through approach to the path or latent through experience undergone in Atlantean days, and the landmarks indicated hold sufficient guidance to enable them to penetrate deeper into the arcana of knowledge. Page 482. The danger consists in the very fact that the whole matter of transmutation concerns the material form and deva substance. Man being not yet master even of the substance of his own sheaths, nor in vibratory control of his third aspect, incurs risk when he concentrates his attention on the not-self. It can only be safely done when the magician knows five things. 1. The nature of the atom. 2. The keynote of the planes. 3. The method of working from the egoic level through conscious control, knowledge of the protective sounds and formulas, and pure altruistic endeavor. 4. The interaction of the three fires, the lunar words, the solar words, and later a cosmic word. 5. The secret of electrical vibration, which is only realized in an elementary way when a man knows the keynote of his own planetary logos. All this knowledge, as it concerns the three worlds, is in the hands of the masters of the wisdom and enables them to work along the lines of energy or force and not with what is usually understood when the word substance is used. They work with electrical energy, concerning themselves with positive electricity or with the energy of the positive nucleus of force within the atom, whether it is the atom of chemistry, for instance, or the human atom. They deal with the soul of things. The black magician works with the negative aspect, with the electrons, if I might so term it, with the sheath and not with the soul. This distinction must be clearly borne in mind. It holds the clue to the non-interference of the whole brotherhood in material matters and affairs and their concentration upon the force aspect, upon the centers of energy. Page 483. They reach the whole through the agency of the few centers in a form. With this preamble, we will now take up the consideration of the conscious manipulation of the fires. It will now be apparent that the whole process of transmutation, as we can deal with it at present, concerns itself with the two fires which reached a high stage of perfection in a past solar system. A. The fire of an atom in its twofold aspect, internal and radiatory. B. The fires of mind. It is with these that transmutation concerns itself from the human standpoint, and the third fire of spirit is not at this stage to be considered. This conscious manipulation of the fires is the prerogative of man when he has reached a certain point in his evolution. The unconscious realization of this has led naturally to the attempts of the alchemist to transmute in the mineral kingdom. A few of the older students, right through the ages, have comprehended the vastness of the endeavor of which the transmutation of the baser metals into gold was but preliminary and a symbol, a pictorial, allegorical, concrete step. End of side one, cassette number 11, A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, page 483. Continued on side two. Side 2, cassette number 11, A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, continuing section 2, division B, The Factor of Manus, on page 483. The whole subject of transmutation is covered by the work of the hierarchy in all its three departments on this planet, and we might get some idea of the matters involved if we studied this vast hierarchical standpoint, getting thereby a concept of the work done in aiding the evolutionary process. It is the work of transferring the life from one stage of atomic existence to another, and it involves three distinct steps, which can be seen and traced by means of the higher clairvoyance and from the higher planes. These steps or stages are the fiery stage, the blending, fusing, burning period through which all atoms pass during the disintegration of form, page 484. The solvent stage, in which the form is dissipated and substance is held in solution, the atom being resolved into its essential duality. The volatile stage, which concerns primarily the essential quality of the atom and the escape of this essence later to take a new form. Radioactivity, prallyic solution, and essential volatility might express the thought. In every transmuting process, without exception, these three steps are followed. Occultly expressed in the old commentary, they are thus stated. Quote, the fiery lives burn within the bosom of mother. The fiery center extends to the periphery of the circle and dissipation supervenes and prallyic peace. The son returns to the bosom of father and mother rests quiescent. Close quote. The masters, in concert with the great devas, concern themselves with this transmutative process, and each department might be considered as dealing with one of the three stages. The Mahachohan's department, in its five divisions, deals with the burning of the fiery lives. The Manu's department concerns itself with the form or the ring pass knot, which encloses the burning lives. The Bodhisattva's department deals with the return of the son to the bosom of the father. Within the department of the Mahachohan, a secondary division along these lines might be outlined. The seventh and fifth rays are occupied with the return of the son to the father and are largely centered in pouring forth energizing power when it becomes necessary to transfer the life of the son from an old form into a new, from one kingdom of nature to another, on the path of return. The third and sixth rays deal with the burning of the fiery lives. The fourth blends the two fires within the atomic form. Page 485. It will be seen from a close study of these subdivisions how close is the cooperation between the different groups and how interrelated are their activities. The work of the hierarchy can be interpreted always in terms of alchemy, and their activities deal with a threefold transmutation. This work is carried on by them consciously and supervenes upon their own emancipation. A master transmutes in the three worlds and principally concerns himself with the process upon the 18 subplanes, the great field of human evolution, and with the passage of the life throughout the dense physical body of the logos. The Chohans of the sixth initiation work in the fourth and fifth ethers of the logoic etheric body, the buddhic and atmic planes, and deal with the passage of the life of spirit from form to form in those worlds, having in view the transmutation of units in the spiritual kingdom into the monadic. Those on still higher levels, the Buddhas and their confreres of the first and third rays, deal with the passage of the life into the subatomic and atomic planes of the cosmic physical. What has been said applies to all hierarchical efforts in all schemes and on all globes, for the unity of effort is universal. In every case, conscious self-induced control or authority precedes ability to transmute. Initiates learn to transmute and superintend the passage of the life out of the animal kingdom into the human after the third initiation. And during the earlier stages of initiation, formulas that control the lesser devas and which produce results in the merging of the second and third kingdoms are communicated. They work under safeguards and supervision. Advanced intellectual man should be able to cooperate in the synthesis of the work and deal with the transmutation of the metals, as the ratio of their intellectual development to that of the mineral elements and builders whom they would control is the same as in the above-mentioned cases and grades of consciousness. But owing to the disastrous developments in Atlantean days and the consequent stultification of spiritual evolution for a time until karma has been adjusted, the art has been lost. Or rather, the knowledge has been safeguarded until a period is reached in the racial progress wherein the physical body is pure enough to withstand the forces contacted and to emerge from the process of chemical transmutation enriched, not only in knowledge and experience, but strengthened in its own inner fiber. Page 486. As time proceeds, man will gradually do four things. 1. Recover past knowledge and powers developed in Atlantean days. 2. Produce bodies resistant to the fire elementals of the lower kind, which work in the mineral kingdom. 3. Comprehend the inner meaning of radioactivity,
or the setting loose of the power inherent in all elements and all atoms of chemistry and in all true minerals. 4. Reduce the formulas of the coming chemists and scientists to sound and not simply formulate through experiment on paper. In this last statement lies, for those who can perceive, the most illuminating hint that it has been possible as yet to impart on this matter. It may seem that I have not communicated much information anent this conscious manipulation of the fires. That lies in the inability of the student to read the esoteric background of the above communicated statements. Conscious transmutation is possible only when a man has transmuted the elements in his own vehicles. Then only can he be trusted with the secrets of divine alchemy. Page 487. When through the latent internal fires of the matter of his own sheaths he has transmuted the chemical and mineral atoms of those sheaths, then can he safely, through affinity of substance, aid the work of mineral transmutation of the first order. Only when, through the radiatory fires of the sheaths, he has transmuted the correspondence to the vegetable kingdom within his own organism, can he alchemically do work of the second order. Only when the fires of mind in himself dominate, can he work with the transmutative processes of the third order, or with the transference of life into the animal forms. Only when the self within, or the ego in the causal body, is in control of his threefold personality, can he occultly be permitted to be an alchemist of the fourth order, and work in connection with the transmutation of the animal monad into the human kingdom, with all the vast knowledge that is included in that idea. Much lies ahead to be accomplished, but in the appreciation of the magnitude of the task need be no place for discouragement, for in the wise outlining of the future, in the cautious promulgation of knowledge concerning the necessitated stages, will come strenuous effort and aim on the part of many aspirants, and the evolutionary bringing in of those who can achieve. The problem of speaking clearly on this subject of transmutation is a very real one, owing to the vastness of the subject and the fact that in the transmutation process, the magician or alchemist works with Deva essence through the control of the lesser builders in cooperation with the greater Devas. In order, therefore, to bring about clarity of thought and definiteness of conjecture in this respect, I desire primarily to lay down certain postulates which must be carefully borne in mind when considering this question of transmutation. They are 5 in number and concern specifically the field wherein the transmuting process is carried on. The student must recollect at this juncture the distinction that is made between the work of the black and the white magician. Page 488. It might be helpful here, before proceeding further, to look at these distinctions as far as they concern the matter in hand. First, the white brother deals with positive electrical energy. The dark brother deals with the negative electrical energy. Second, the white brother occupies himself with the soul of things. The black magician centers his attention upon the form. Third, the white magician develops the inherent energy of the sphere concerned, whether human, animal, vegetable, or mineral, and produces results through the self-induced activities of the central life, subhuman, human, or superhuman. The black magician attains results through the agency of force external to the sphere involved and produces transmutation through the agency of resolvence, if so I might term it, or through the method of the reduction of the form, rather than through radiation, as does the white magician. These differences of method need to be carefully considered, and their reaction visualized in connection with different elements, atoms, and forms. To return to our statement of our 5 postulates anent the transmutation of substance, the resolution of the life, or the transference of energy into different forms. The 5 postulates. Postulate 1. All matter is living matter, or is the vital substance of Deva entities. For instance, a plane and forms built of that particular plane substance is the material form or sheath of a great Deva, who is the essence back of manifestation and the soul of the plane. Page 489. Postulate 2. All forms vibrating to any keynote are fabricated by the building devas out of the matter of their own bodies. Hence they are called the Great Mother aspect, for they produce the form out of their own substance. Postulate 3. The devas are the life which produces form cohesion. They are the third and second aspects blended and might be considered as the life of all forms that are subhuman. A magician, therefore, who transmutes in the mineral kingdom works practically with deva essence in its earliest form on the upward arc of evolution and has to remember three things. A. The effect of the backward pull of the involutionary lives which lie back of the mineral or, in effect, its heredity. B. The sevenfold nature of the peculiar group of devas which constitute its being in an occult sense. C. The next transition stage ahead into the vegetable kingdom, or the occult effect of the second kingdom on the first. Postulate 4. All deva essences and builders on the physical plane are peculiarly dangerous to man, for they work on the etheric levels and are, as I have earlier pointed out, the transmitters of prana, or the vital animating substance, and hence they set loose upon the ignorant and the unwary fiery essence which burns and destroys. Postulate 5. The devas do not work as individualized conscious units through self-initiating purposes, as does a man, a heavenly man, or a solar logos, viewed as egos, but they work in groups subject to A. Inherent impulse or latent active intelligence, B. Orders issued by the greater builders, C. Ritual or compulsion induced through color and sound. Page 490. When these facts are remembered and considered, some comprehension of the place the devas play in transmutation may be achieved. The position that fire occupies in the process is of peculiar interest here, for it brings out clearly the difference of method between the two schools. In the transmutative process as carried on by the Brotherhood, the inner fire which animates the atom, form, or man is stimulated, fanned, and strengthened till it, through its own internal potency, burns up its sheaths and escapes by radiation from within its ring-pass knot. This is seen in an interesting way as occurring during the process of the final initiations when the causal body is destroyed by fire. The fire within burns up all else, and the electric fire escapes. The true alchemist, therefore, in days to come, will in every case seek to stimulate the radioactivity of the element or atom with which he is working, and will center his attention upon the positive nucleus. By increasing its vibration, its activity, or its positivity, he will bring about the desired end. The masters do this in connection with the human spirit, and do not concern themselves at all with his deva aspect. The same basic rule will be found to apply in the case of a mineral as well as of a man. The process as carried on by the Dark Brotherhood is the reverse of this. They center the attention upon the form and seek to shatter and break that form, or the combination of atoms, in order to permit the central electric life to escape. They bring about this result through external agencies and by availing themselves of the destructive nature of the substance, deva essence, itself. They burn and destroy the material sheath, seeking to imprison the escaping volatile essence as the form disintegrates. This hinders the evolutionary plan in the case of the life involved, delays the consummation, interferes with the ordered progress of development, and puts all the factors involved in a bad position. Page 491. The life, or entity, concerned receives a setback. The devas work destructively and without participation in the purpose of the plan, and the magician is in danger under the law of karma and through the materializing of his own substance by affinity with the third aspect. Black magic of this nature creeps into all religions along this very line of the destruction of the form through outer agency, and not through the liberation of the life through inner development and preparedness. It produces the evils of Hatha Yoga in India, and similar methods as practiced in certain religious and occult orders in the Occident also. Both work with matter on some plane in the three worlds, and do evil that good may come. Both control the devas, and attempt to produce specific ends by manipulation of the matter of the form. The hierarchy works with the soul within the form and produces results that are intelligent, self-induced, and permanent. Wherever attention is centered on the form and not on the spirit, the tendency is to deva worship, deva contact, and black magic, for the form is made of deva substance on all planes. This must be considered well in connection with every form, for it holds the key to many mysteries. We have seen how, in this question of the transference of the life from form to form, the work proceeds under rule and order and is effected through the cooperation of the devas in the first instance and the application of external agents to the atom or form involved, and in the second place, involving the most important and lengthy stage of the procedure through the subsequent reaction within the atom itself, which produces an intensification of the positive burning center and the consequent escape through radioactivity of the volatile essence. At all the different stages, the fire elementals perform their part, aided by the fire devas, who are the controlling agents. Page 492. This is so on all the planes which primarily concern us in the three worlds, different groups of devas coming into action according to the nature of the form concerned and the plane on which the transmutation is to take place. Electric fire passes from atom to atom, according to law, and fire by friction responds, being the latent fire of the atom or its negative aspect. The process is carried on through the medium of solar fire, and herein lies the secret of transmutation and its most mysterious angle. Fire by friction, the negative electricity of substance, has been for some time the subject of the attention of exoteric science, and investigation of the nature of positive electricity has become possible through the discovery of radium. Keeley, as H.P.B. hinted, had gone far along this path and knew even more than he gave out, and others have approached or are approaching the same objective. The next step ahead for science lies in this direction and should concern the potential force of the atom itself and its harnessing for the use of man. This will let loose upon Earth a stupendous amount of energy. Nevertheless, it is only when the third factor is comprehended and science admits the agency of mental fire as embodied in certain groups of devas that the force of energy that is triple and yet one in the three worlds will become available for the helping of man. This lies as yet far ahead, and will only become possible towards the end of this round, and these potent forces will not be fully utilized nor fully known till the middle of the next round. At that time, much energy will become available through the removal of all that obstructs. This is effected in relation to man at the judgment separation, but it will produce results in the other kingdoms of nature also. A portion of the animal kingdom will enter into a temporary obscuration, thus releasing energy for the use of the remaining percentage and producing results such as are hinted at in the Bible by the prophet of Israel in chapter 11, verse 6 of Isaiah, when he speaks of the wolf lying down with the lamb. His comment, "A little child shall lead them," is largely the esoteric enunciation of the fact that three-fifths of the human family will stand upon the path, a little child being the name applied to probationers and disciples. In the vegetable and mineral kingdoms, a corresponding demonstration will ensue, but of such a nature as to be too obscure for our comprehension. The central factor of solar fire in the work of transmutation will come to be understood through the study of the fire devas and elementals who are fire and who are in themselves essentially and through active magnetic radiation, the external heat or vibration which produces the force which plays upon the spheroidal wall of the atom, the response within the atom which produces radiation or the escape of volatile essence. Speaking cosmically and regarding the solar system as itself a cosmic atom, we would consider that the abstractions or entities who indwell the form are electric fire. The material substance which is enclosed within the ring pass not, viewing it as a homogeneous whole, is fire by friction. The fire devas from the cosmic mental plane, of whom Agni and Indra are the embodiers, along with one whose name is not to be given, are the external agencies who carry on cosmic transmutation. This triple statement can be applied to a scheme, a chain, or a globe also, remembering ever that in connection with man, the fire which is his third aspect emanates from the systemic mental. Page 494. We have dealt in broad and general manner with this question of electricity and have seen that fire essence or substance is resolved through internal activity and external heat, in such a manner that the electric fire at the center of the atom is liberated and seeks a new form. This is the aim of the transmutative process, and the fact that hitherto alchemists working in the mineral kingdom have failed to achieve their objective has been due to three things. First, inability to contact the central electric spark. This is due to ignorance of certain of the laws of electricity, and above all, ignorance of the set formula which covers the range of the electrical influence of that spark. Second, inability to create the necessary channel or path along which the escaping life may travel into its new form. Many have succeeded in breaking the form so that the life has escaped, but they have not known how to harness or guide it, and all their labor has consequently been lost. Third, inability to control the fire elementals, who are the external fire, which affects that central spark through the medium of its environment. This inability is especially distinctive of the alchemists of the fifth root race, who have been practically incapable of this control, having lost the words, the formulas, and the sounds. This is the consequence of undue success in Atlantean days, when the alchemists of the time, through color and sound, so entirely controlled the elementals that they utilized them for their own selfish ends and along lines of endeavors outside their legitimate province. This knowledge of formulas and sounds can be comparatively easily acquired when man has developed the inner spiritual ear. Page 495. When this is the case, the transmutative processes of the grosser kind, such as are involved in the manufacture of pure gold, will interest him not at all, and only those subtler forms of activity which are connected with the transference of life from graded form to form will occupy his attention. The following facts might also be pointed out. First, that every kingdom of nature has its note or tone, and the mantric sounds which concern any transmutative process within that kingdom will have that note as the key or bass note. Second, that the note of the mineral kingdom is the basic note of substance itself, and it is largely the sounding of the note combinations based on this key which produces the great world cataclysms wrought through volcanic action. Every volcano is sounding forth this note, and, for those who can see, the sound and color, occultly understood, of a volcano are a truly marvelous thing. Every gradation of that note is to be found in the mineral kingdom, which is itself divided into three main kingdoms. A. The baser metals, such as lead and iron, with all allied minerals. B. The standard metals, such as gold and silver, which play such a vital part in the life of the race and are the mineral manifestation of the second aspect. C. The crystals and precious stones, the first aspect, as it works out in the mineral kingdom, the consummation of the work of the mineral devas and the product of their untiring efforts. When scientists fully appreciate what it is which causes the difference between the sapphire and the ruby, they will have found out what constitutes one of the stages of the transmutative process, and this they cannot do until the fourth ether is controlled and its secret discovered. Page 496. As time progresses, the transmutation, for instance, of coal into diamonds, of lead into silver, or of certain metals into gold, will hold no appeal for man, for it will be recognized that the outcome of such action will cause deterioration of the standard and result in poverty instead of the acquirement of riches. Man will eventually come to the realization that in atomic energy, harnessed to his need or in the inducing of increased radioactivity, lies for him the path to prosperity and riches. He will therefore concentrate his attention on this higher form of life transference and, A, through knowledge of the devas, B, through external pressure and vibration, C, through internal stimulation, D, through color applied in stimulation and vitalization, E, through mantric sounds, He will find the secret of atomic energy latent in the mineral kingdom and will bend that inconceivable power and force to the solution of the problems of existence. Only when atomic energy is better understood and the nature of the fourth ether somewhat comprehended shall we see that control of the air which lies inevitably ahead. Third, by the discovery of the note of the vegetable kingdom, by its conjunction with other of nature's notes, and by its due sounding forth in different keys and combinations, will come the possibility to produce marvelous results within that kingdom, and to stimulate the activities of those devas who work with flowers, fruits, trees, and herbs. Every root race has its own particular style of vegetation, or certain basic forms and designs which can be traced in all countries where the race locates. These results are brought about by the interaction between the basic note of the vegetable kingdom itself and the note of the race of men who are evolving simultaneously. Page 497. The union of these two notes is that which produces distinctive vegetation, though it should be remembered that when the human note dominates too strongly, it is apt to drive out the life of the forms of this second kingdom. The devas who work in this kingdom are a special group and have a closer and more peculiar relation to it than have the builders or devas in any other kingdom. The transmutative process is effected more easily in the vegetable kingdom than in any other, owing to this very factor, and also to the incentive given to this second kingdom and its evolutionary process by the coming of the Lords of the Flame from the second or Venus globe, preeminently the globe with which this kingdom has a mysterious connection. If I might express it in other words, the cosmic entity who is the life of the second globe and its informing principle has a close connection with the solar entity who is the informing life of the entire vegetable kingdom. This analogy can be worked out in connection with the other kingdoms, globes, and other forms, and accounts somewhat for the fact that this fourth globe is, above everything else, the globe of human evolution in this scheme. It gives also the clue to the mystery of the presence of the great Kumara himself upon Earth. Footnote. The fourth round, the present, our round, being the middle round between the first, second, third, and the fifth, sixth, and seventh, is one of adjustment and final equipoise between spirit and matter. It is that point, in short, wherein the reign of true matter, its grossest state, which is as unknown to science as its opposite pole, the homogeneous matter or substance, stops and comes to an end. From that point, physical man begins to throw off coat after coat of his material molecules for the benefit and subsequent formation or clothing of the animal kingdom, which in its turn is passing it on to the vegetable, and the latter to the mineral kingdoms. Man, having evoluted in the first round from the animal via the two other kingdoms, it stands to reason that in the present round he should appear before the animal world of this manvantaric period. But see the secret doctrine for particulars. From Lucifer, volume 3, page 253. And The Secret Doctrine, Volume 1, page 107. Return to text. These thoughts merit close attention. Page 498. The note of the human kingdom, sounded in quadruple intensity on this globe, has produced portentous happenings, and I would suggest to all occult investigators the close study and scrutiny of the following manifestations in time and space. 1. The fourth creative hierarchy, the human. 2. The fourth scheme, our earth scheme. 3. The fourth chain, the earth chain. 4. The fourth globe, our planet. 5. The fourth kingdom, the human. 6. The fourth round, the first strictly human round. 7. The four Kumaras, embodiers of humanity. 8. The fourth plane, the Buddhic, the human goal. 9. The fourth ether, the physical correspondence of the Buddhic plane. One fundamental sound is responded to by all these varied factors. It is the note that is the cause of their existence and the basis of their being. This note, if sought for and found, will bring into close alliance all of these factors till they are blended into a great occult unity. It will bring likewise into cooperation the band of devas who are the essences of the fourth human principle. B. Synthesis. We have seen that during the coming races and sub-races, certain very definite development may be looked for in connection with monastic unfoldment, and it is worthwhile to note particularly that as far as the evolution of manas in this round is concerned, its highest efflorescence may be looked for during the next 500 years. The coming in of the two final root races marks the point of synthesis and the gradual utilization of that which has been monastically achieved. This will be brought about by a development of abstract thought and of intuitive recognition. In other words, manas has, during the past three root races, been principally applied to the understanding of objective existence, to the adaptation of the dweller in the form to his environment on the physical plane. Page 499. From now on, the trend of activity will be towards the understanding of the subjective side of manifestation, and towards the comprehension of the psyche of the individual life, divine, planetary, or human. In the next round, all the previous stages will be recapitulated, and manas will demonstrate in ways inconceivable as yet to the half-awakened consciousness of man. In that round, 3/5 of the human family will be fully aware, functioning with uninterrupted continuity of recollection on the physical, astral, and lower mental planes. The emphasis of monastic evolution will be laid upon the achievement of causal consciousness and upon the scientific construction of the bridge which should unite the causal vehicle and the permanent monastic atom on the abstract levels. During the 6th and 7th rounds, we shall again have the synthesizing process at work in a manner analogous to that which lies ahead in the 6th and 7th root races of this round. To express the whole matter in larger terms, the heavenly man will be achieving the consciousness of his causal body on cosmic levels with a consequent reaction, repolarization, and alignment of his body of manifestation. Under the law, this will work out as demonstrated quality and ordered intelligent purpose in every kingdom of nature, and will produce unifying results within those kingdoms of a kind inexplicable to man at his present stage of monastic development. We need not, therefore, give further time to the consideration of them, for the mental concept of man could not measure up to the magnitude of the theme. In summing up what I have written anent this matter of the discriminative faculty, the intelligent activity, the adaptability nature, and the transmutative power of manas, I would like to point out that so far-reaching are these developments that every department of nature, macrocosmic and microcosmic, will show forth these aspects and show them forth in a ninefold manner before the consummation is achieved and man has found his course. Page 500. Let us therefore look for a brief moment at the microcosmic manifestation, leaving the student as far as he is able to work out analogous ideas in relation to the heavenly man and the solar locus. Monastic characteristics and the planes. 1. On the physical plane, here this quality demonstrates as A. the selective power of the atoms of the body, B. the adaptability of the physical form to its environment and to its circumstances, C. the ordered purpose of the informing life as it affects the physical form and atoms, D. the transmutative power inherent in man, though as yet unrecognized by him, which has brought him to his present stage of physical existence from that of animal man. It concerns also the transference of the life onto monastic levels. 2. On the astral plane, A. the discriminative power of man to choose between the pairs of opposites, B. his adaptability to emotional conditions and his power to attain eventual equilibrium, C. the power of man through conscious purpose to clear his astral body of foreign matter and to ensure its translucence, D. the transmutative inherent power which transmutes or transfers the life into Buddhic forms eventually. 3. On the mental plane. A. In the selective power of man to choose the form through which to manifest. Page 501. B. His adaptability to mental currents and vibration, and his utilization of them to control the lower forms. C. The working out of purpose through the medium of the two lower vehicles. Impulse emanates from the mental plane. D. The transmutative power which transforms the entire lower threefold man into a new form, the causal body. This process of transmutation is carried on through the entire series of incarnations. 4. On the abstract levels of the mental plane. A. The ability of the ego to discriminate as to time and space in the three worlds. B. Egoic adaptation of matter and circumstance of time and environment to the specific need under the law of karma. C. The intelligent purpose which lies back of all physical objectivity and which is seen working out in every life. D. The transmutation or transference into the triad of the life of the ego as it functions in the causal body. This results in dissociation from manifestation in the three worlds. To effect this transmutation, which is a point at times overlooked, the thinker in the causal vehicle has to do three things. 1. Build and equip the causal body. 2. Bring about conscious connection or control of the threefold lower nature through the agency of the permanent atoms. 3. Bridge the interlude between the causal body on its own level and the monastic permanent atom. Page 502. 5. On Buddhic levels. A. Discriminative power here demonstrates as ability to distinguish between the abstract and the concrete, and to arrive at conclusions apart from the ordinary apparatus, the mental body and the physical brain. B. Adaptability to hierarchical enterprise shown by the initiate or master, and his receptivity to life impulses and spiritual currents emanating from the planetary logos of his ray, a thing at this stage impossible of conscious realization. C. In the ordered purpose which guides the choice by a master of one of the seven paths of endeavor. Thus choice is based on knowledge and not on desire. D. In the conscious transmutation he undertakes in the work of evolution and in the gradual transference of his own life and the life of his group into the monadic aspect which is reflected in the buddhic. 6. On atomic levels. A. In the selective work of the adept as it relates to planetary manifestation and the discriminative power which guides all action relating to his own planet and the two others associated with the Earth as a systemic triangle. B. The adaptation of groups, deva and human, to certain types of influence and vibration which emanate extra-systemically and which from high cosmic levels play upon groups fostering certain attributes for which we have as yet no terminology. C. The synthesizing work of the Brahma aspect as it works out in the blending of the four minor rays into the third major. Page 503. D. The transmutation which results in planetary obscuration in connection with five of the heavenly men, and which, as in the previous work of synthesis, concerns microcosmic evolution and is participated in by man. I would call attention to an interesting point. As more and more of the monads are resolved back into their source, it produces a gradual obscuration of the particular heavenly man in whose body they are the cells. Though this may look to human vision as extending over a profoundly long period from the point of view of universal or group consciousness, it is occurring now. For instance, such an event as the obscuration of the manifestation of the logos of our Earth scheme is already in process and began in Lemurian days. 7. As regards monadic discrimination, adaptability, purpose, and transmutative power, it is needless to enlarge. All these ideas and concepts are of value only insofar as they produce within the thinker a more intelligent appreciation of the grandeur of the divine plan, an appropriation of the energy and force which is his by right of participation in the processes of manifestation, and a wise cooperation in the furtherance of the evolutionary plan as it affects him individually and his groups. Page 504. Section 2, Division C, the egoic ray and solar fire. Roman numeral 1, the nature of the causal body.
1. It is formed by the contact of the two fires of spirit and matter. 2. It is produced at individualization. Roman numeral 2. The nature of the permanent atoms. 1. Their purpose. A. They are force distributors. B. Conservers of faculty. C. Assimilators and transmuters. D. Vehicles of memory. 2. Their place in the egoic body. A. The astral permanent atom. B. The atomic triangle. 3. The spirillae and the egoic ray. A. The composition of the permanent atoms. B. The planes and fiery energy. C. The three fires. 4. Summary. Roman numeral 3. The egoic lotus. 1. Wheels or centers of energy. A. Centers of force. B. The causal body, the monadic heart center. Page 505. 2. The 12-petaled lotus. A. The knowledge petals. B. The love petals. C. The sacrifice petals. 3. Summary. Roman numeral 1. The nature of the egoic or causal body. The subject of the egoic ray and its relation to the second fire is one of vital import to three types of people. Those who are interested in the true psychology or in the evolution of the psyche, those who are on or nearing the path and hence are coming more and more into touch with their own ego, those who work with the souls of men, the servers of the race. The reason for this is because in the due comprehension of this subject, that of the ego functioning in the causal body, comes the ability to work scientifically with the problem of one's own evolution and to do good work in aiding the evolution of one's brother. End of side 2, cassette number 11, A Treatise on Cosmic Fire, page 505. Continued on cassette number 12.